Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. Sean Mapes in for Dell this morning. Dell just decided, I think, this will take the whole week off.
No, I mean, he's got to, I did start the show two times this week.
Dell, he's lazy.
I did start the show two times this week. That is true.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. Did you wear a headband like Mapes?
No, I didn't, but I wore a hat. But Dell is going to be in. Dell's in Webster today.
Do you have long flowing hair like Mapes?
No, and even in my prime, it wasn't long and flowing.
No, he has long flowing hair. He's the Cam. He's the Cam Rising of this show.
There's no question.
Yep.
I'm Gen X, so we didn't really like do long. I mean, you know, you had the hair. We had glam rock. I guess those guys had long flowing hair, but. We didn't really do a lot of long flowing hair as Gen X. I mean, I guess Pearl Jam did, and Nirvana had, but grunge, but it wasn't long. It was short. Well, I take it back. Nirvana did have long hair now, I think.
Yeah, they had.
But I wasn't in a rock band.
Wouldn't Dell be the Cam Ward of this show, considering availability?
Oh.
Could be.
I'm more the Isaac Wilson. I'm Zach Wilson's little brother. I'm stepping in for him.
We call him the Hassan Reddick. He just sits out on purpose. That's what Dell is.
Hassan Reddick.
That's what he is. Finally shows up. He's going to show up at 10 o'clock. He's got his show. They're doing a live show right from Bobcat. Right.
Yes.
Is that where they're at today? So I think all the shows from 10 until 6 o'clock are going to be at Bobcat today. So that's going to be pretty cool. But lazy once again. Lazy. And Mapes is here, just working his ass off. It's what he does. You got to produce you three shows. How many shows you do today?
I'm just going till noon today.
Till noon?
Yeah.
That's it.
B-Max stepping in for me on Very nice. Blonde George.
Yeah. Well, bring in the right-hander. Bring in the right-hander at noon, okay? And B-Mac can get that job done. Off we go here. Did you happen to hear Brian Windhorst's thoughts about Jalen Green getting traded?
No, I didn't hear it. When did it must have been?
Brian Windhorst came out with it was like, "Whoa, wow." Here's the headline. Houston Rockets trade chip potential is real per NBA insider. Brian Windhorst foreshadows Rockets trade plans for the young star. Now, he did say this. Well, here's what he said. This is a contract that a lot of people in the league think was signed for the option to be traded. And getting the 10% trade kicker in there, which is the biggest trade kicker that was given out yesterday in all these deals, Windhorst said. To me, I'm not saying the Rockets are definitely going to trade him. I'm just saying the contract was designed to allow him to be traded.
Well, I don't disagree with that necessarily. We've had this discussion over and over. And once we saw his contract, the amount and the length, I loved it because it gives you a chance to have an extended runway, to take a look at him and see what it looks like and see what all these players look like together. Let's face it, you know, you didn't have, I mean, Tari Eason, who's a big part of, Amen Thompson was a rookie, Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore is a rookie. You know, when I say Tari Eason, I mean the injuries and things like that. When you add everything up, you can say, okay, we still have to see this team play together. Like, we can't freak out because these guys haven't really this collection of players really hasn't played together a whole lot. Some of them have.
Well, Jalen has been here, and we know what Jalen is. I mean, even Tillman said, hey, we want Jalen to be the Jalen that we saw for a lot of the second half last year.
That's what they're trying to find, and this contract allows you to – that's why it's a great contract. It allows you to find that out, and it allows you to trade him if you want to.
Yeah, right, exactly. And for those of you who don't know what the 10% trade kicker is, whatever's left on the contract – the player that is traded gets 10% more from the team that trades him. Now, the max that you can get on a trade kicker for the in the NBA is 15%.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets gave him 10%, or are going to give him 10%.
So if he gets traded, he gets a bonus. Yeah. It's just kind of like a way of saying, look, we'll structure – it's not a no-trade clause, but it is we'll give you more money if you get traded.
Right. Yeah, right. And so it makes being traded a little bit easier. So basically you're going to make more money. You're going to make 10% more on your contract than you would have if you stayed with the team that you're with, and it makes being traded a little bit easier. So the Rockets are giving him – and not everybody gets a trade kicker. He's going to get a 10% bonus if the Rockets do trade him, which is, you know, which is nice. And, oh, by the way, you know, something that maybe – Brian Windhorst, again, he said, I'm not saying that he will be traded. I'm saying it's a tradable contract. And it is a tradable contract.
Yeah,
it's
not a max
deal.
That. Okay.
It's not a max deal, which the other guys got, $224 million. Four guys in his draft, four or five mm-hmm. guys in his draft, actually got the $224. Scotty Barnes was a guy I didn't include. He had gotten $224 max out of that. That's a hell of a draft, that one, because they got four guys that have already gotten the max, and another guy in Jalen who got $106 million, $35 million per. So – that turned out to be a really, really good draft for the teams, although a lot of those guys still aren't winning, including Jalen. We'll find out. Jalen's got a – they play tonight, and if Jalen's shooting 15 threes, to me, that's not a winning formula. He and Fred VanVleet combined for 26 threes. And they only made seven of them.
Yeah.
That's just not winning basketball.
No, it's not. It wasn't good. Fred wasn't shooting well. Jalen, I thought some of the shots were open. Some of them were a little bit more contested. But I think there's just a lot of teeth gnashing for nothing. It was a bad first game. It was fine in the first half. They had a bad second half. I think they're going to be absolutely fine. I'm not worried about it. I'm already have to fight this battle with one of my kids at home who literally the sky is falling for him. So I'm just like, God, let this play out. Jeez. My gosh, it's 81 more games. Can we see a couple more games before we decide to dismantle the team and start over again?
Yeah.
Jeez.
No, that's
I mean,
no.
Let's go. I mean, let's see what happens. I think the Rockets are going to be fine. I know as you know, why are we on to the next one in the NFL or on to the next one in baseball? But in basketball, it's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, in baseball, we're on to the next one. In football, we have to get on to the next one. Let's get on to the next one in basketball. We got one tonight.
Yeah, got one tonight. And it's gonna be tougher. It's Memphis. And here we go. Mm-hmm. And they just got to play better. And it was interesting the way that he went his rotations. Mm-hmm. It was interesting the minutes that he gave. You know, it was contrary to everything that we had talked about this offseason. That you know, oh, too many guys, and how is he going to get all these guys in there? And he every starter played over 30 minutes, which was just wild.
Well, I think it's actually not to the contrary. I think that what we're seeing is a problem. He's got to figure this out because it's not going to be that way every time. I think that's I think it became a problem. You know, this is the problem is you're talking about being a problem. We don't know what it's going to look like, and I don't think he knows what it's going to look like. That's why I hesitate to get too upset about. I don't like the result of the first game. I don't like the fact that they couldn't close it. I don't like the fact they let him back in. But I also think that Ime Udoka right now really is going to be. I think he's really at an early stage of figuring out, okay, how is this going to work and how is this going to play out? And that's maybe why it seems silly when you listen to Windhorst and you say, we're the first game. We're talking about Jalen getting traded. Yeah, but it's just worth noting that that's considered a tradable contract just because if things get a little cluttered, somebody's leaving the Rockets. They're not going to continue to have, you know, if somebody is upset with their playing time and becomes an issue – They may move somebody in the future. It's not imminent, but it's just something to acknowledge because it definitely could happen. It ain't gonna be Alpi, so it's something to keep in mind. But I think Reed Shepard's a rookie. We'll see. You know, the guys that I think are interesting. I couldn't figure out where Tari Eason fit in. Like they brought Tari Eason in, but when he was in, he just they had a lineup. He went with a lineup of of Tari Eason, Dylan Brooks, and Jabari Smith at one point. And I didn't love that lineup. In theory, I thought, ooh, this is nice. You got some guys who are hustle guys. And then it didn't look good on the floor. It just didn't flow. It wasn't, you know, Fred VanVleet wasn't playing well, which he wasn't. Those guys are not offensive. Like, Tari's a junk man. And Dylan Brooks is not an offensive player. Jabari Smith is just very up and down. I think figuring out how to work these guys where you still have the offense you need in there, because they fell apart offensively the other day. They just fell apart in the second half completely. So how you're going to play these guys together, I think, is going to be interesting, because at some point I think it behooves you to go to about a 9-man rotation. No, 10. It'll be 10. I mean, one at every position. It'll be Reed at one. It'll be Cam Whitmore eventually at two. Maybe not, because Amen Thompson needs to be on the court.
Yeah, well, rotation. Rotation to me means more than 16 minutes out of a guy, or 8
not
minutes
necessarily.
Out of Cam Whitmore.
go well, look at how much did he play last year, Cam Whitmore, per game.
And more than 8 minutes.
Well, you had injuries, too.
Yeah, okay.
He played 18. He played 18 minutes a game.
To me, when you're this deep, he ran exactly contrary to what we thought he was going to do. You've got really good players that are on the bench and maybe need a little bit of time to get into a groove. When you're only playing for 8 minutes or 15 minutes in the game, it's just not. How are you going to get anything out of a guy that's just coming in and getting spare time?
But what if he didn't like the way you're playing? What if he didn't like the way you're playing and you're not defending? And you're not rebounding.
He didn't any of the five were playing.
Well, did you like the way that anyone was playing the other day?
I didn't like the way the starters were playing either.
Well, the starters were. I mean, the starters are the ones who got the lead.
Yeah. Well, no, but they had a lead for. They had a Lance. They weren't on the floor the whole time. And they had an 18-point lead. And look at the starters. Some of them were minus 19 the floor.
I just think it's kind of sky is falling. I mean, it's one game and they got to figure out this is always going to be tough to figure out how you're going to do the minutes. And I don't think it's going to be the same every game. I think it can change. I think it can be a very fluid situation.
I understand all that. And I'm not saying that this guy is falling. I'm saying that it was contrary to everything that we've
seen. For one
game. Yeah, one game. That's right. Right. Jalen was minus 11. The other guys were actually plus. Jalen on the floor was not good for the Rockets at 9 for 23 total.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was because of Jalen defensively or anything. I think it just he happened to be out there when they had some things
Jalen
like
Jalen jacking up threes.
Well, but I would argue that where was your boy Alperen Şengün in the second half? That guy shrunk. Like that, where was Fred VanVleet shooting? You know, if you're on the floor where Fred VanVleet is missing and Dylan Brooks is missing nonstop, and the other team is hitting threes, that's on your ticket. But that doesn't mean that you screwed it up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's your plus minus, but it's also because you're not scoring, because you got a bunch of guys shooting. Not just Jalen, but all those guys were shooting and missing. It was just a bad game. That's why I'm done with that game. But the minutes thing to me is going to be. It's not going to be static, John. It's going to be fluid throughout the year because you have a bunch of guys that can play, and you have a coach who, if he doesn't like the way you're looking, he'll just change it. Remember last year, Jabari for a while couldn't play in the fourth quarter, just couldn't play. Then Jalen Green had to sit in the fourth quarter, and he's not afraid to change things up and take chances. We don't mind it when a manager in baseball does it. Well, he may be doing the same thing that Dusty did with lineups and that Espada did with lineups. It may be more fluid than we're used to.
Yep, we'll see. We'll see. It starts tonight with Memphis. Yep, there's still a bunch of games left to go. A poor start, though. And it was a little bit disappointing with the excitement, but it's only one game. But those are the games. You can't be losing to Charlotte if you think you're going to be a contender in the West. You gotta play better. You gotta play better than that. And maybe it was a wake up call for the guys. We'll find out if they are a little bit woken, if they woke up a little bit tonight. You got to talk about the Zadig Jewelers and what's going on over there.
A lot of things going on at Zadig Jewelers, and a lot of opportunities for you to enjoy yourself with the process of shopping for something cool. You know, it's always a lot of fun to shop for something for yourself. Always a lot of fun. That's something that really stands out. And so if you're looking for a brand new watch, it's going to be a good time over at Zadig Jewelers, because they have They have very unique selections. They are they're a boutique location for some of the biggest watchmakers and brands in the entire world, and so they have some unique pieces that others are not going to have. That's why people come from across the state to Zadig Jewelers, because they buy, they sell, and they even trade. So if you're somebody who's really into the watches, and you know what I'm talking about, it's like sneakerheads and car aficionados and people who really get into a certain type of a feature that they love to trade and study and just immerse themselves in, there is a watch community that is insane. And this selection they have is really great. And it's also great for holiday proposal time. It gets started right now. So you can head over to Zadig Jewelers if you're looking at proposing to that special girl. They've got an upstairs that does everything for you, from the selection of they help you with the proposal process. They help you with obviously picking out the right diamond. They educate you on loose diamond settings, things like that. I mean, it's really everything. You've got somebody who can help you out. You got a mentor to help you out. And that's what Zadig Jewelers is about, helping the client find the best selection of whatever it is you're looking for so that you have a special moment with that special someone that you're giving the gift to, even if it's yourself. Zadig Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Make sure that you go to the website in advance and take a look at ZADOK.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So here we go. DeForest Buckner's practicing, full participant, so he's going to be back. The Texans take on the Indianapolis Colts. The offensive line was just a mess. And that is a bad thing. Texans are at home. Hopefully it'll be a little different. Bobby Slowick says that the road had something to do with why the offensive line played so poorly. Here he is talking about the mess and taking responsibility for the mess that is the offensive line.
It's always a multitude of things. It's never just one thing, right? But, it's shown up probably about three times this year where we've had some issues in protection that are completely controllable. So, for me, that starts – like with me, I'm not doing something right. I'm not coaching something right. I'm not saying things in a way that needs to be interpreted the way it needs to be interpreted. Because honestly, the things that we missed in the game are things that D'Amico's been giving us day one in training camp. So it's stuff that I know they've seen and they've done and they've knocked out before. Obviously, you're on the road. You're in Lambeau. Communication's going to be hard. You got to strain in that regard. But we've been working on that part of it for 4 weeks. Like, we've been working on what it's like on a road game, even when we have a home game. We've been straining on silent. We've been going on silent cadence even on weeks like this. So, that's been an emphasis for us. You see it in the pre-snap. Now we got to see it in the post-snap, and I got to find a way to get that out of our game.
So that's classic accountability, coach. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to take everything, even stuff that's not on me, on my back. It's what coaches should do, frankly. Bobby went over the top with it. Deion would have just said, The offensive line is terrible. Those guys are awful. Y'all see them. Shadua has no time to pass. Those guys are the worst. But, Deion, they're your guys. I know. They're bad. he would have just thrown everybody under the bus. Bobby Slowick just said, it's on me. So I read between the lines when I read that yesterday. It's my first time hearing it. I read it. I think something's going on. It's interesting. I don't know if some protection. So Green Bay really, I went back and watched all the tape on that. Green Bay threw some really kind of exotic looks at the Texans. And I think Green Bay, when they studied the Texans, saw they don't handle games well. They don't handle twists well. You mentioned that early, John, that you saw that they're having trouble with twists. I think it was you. And they're not good. They weren't good with twists in the game the other day. They would show you a blitz in one location, and then they would move. Like, they'd void their look. So they'd show you a look. They'd show three on one side of the line. So in coverage, in protections, the center's going to go up. He's going to identify the Mike linebacker. And then from there, you say, okay, 56 is the Mike. What that means is that everyone knows that one to the left, two to the left, there's a certain responsibility everyone has. So when guys step up into the line, it doesn't matter if they're a safety or whatever. They're a man that needs to get blocked once you identify the mic. the quarterback typically can change protections if he needs. If he sees something that he doesn't like and he's worried about, the quarterbacks typically, you'll hear a phrase, the quarterback can get himself protected. And so if he understands protections, he can change a protection based on what he's seen happening after they all line up and maybe there's some late movement.
Well, to that, to that though, Bobby Slowick addressed that. Sean, he's got the quote about getting to the line of scrimmage in time. Here's Bobby Slowick talking about that very thing.
So, like, when we have if you have a play call that's fairly straightforward, that might not have a lot of demand on the quarterback or on other guys, a lot of times you're at the ball faster, the ball is being snapped faster, you're rolling faster. And then a lot of other times when the quarterback has a lot on his plate he has to handle, and that could be from a multitude of directions, it's going to take some more words, you know. So he's going to be in the huddle a little bit longer, and then when we break the huddle, we got to make sure we're getting set so he can see it, because sometimes it's him just getting prepared for the play. Other times he might be going to a different play, depending on what our look is. But those demand strain, you know, in between plays in particular. I'd say our biggest thing is not necessarily from the huddle to the ball right now. It's getting into the huddle, you know. Like when we get a play, when we make a play on offense, we have a tendency right now where we can get into the huddle later, even though CJ's ready. And that's been really a thing for us in practice this week is, hey, we got to go from one play to the next, to the next, to the next. We got to keep that tempo up so we can do these things to help empower people to be in good positions.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good hit, John, because that's exactly what, when you're up there longer, you know, Peyton Manning would get up they'd have sugar huddle basically, so he could get up there and he could do false counts, so that any kind of movement that you were going to do post snap, he'd try to trigger.
So
wait as long as possible.
So I was on, you know, I was on the field with the Texans for the first 5 years, and Dom Capers, about the third year, he goes, "Man, that Peyton Manning dude, we are going to not get set up. Our defensive linemen are in a 3-point stance for about 20 some seconds before every play, because they get to the line in a hurry, and then Peyton does all that crap at the line of scrimmage, which a lot of it is just decoys and just nothing, a bunch of nothing. But he's making the defensive linemen sit there in a stance forever. Mm-hmm. The Texans are getting to the line of scrimmage. Guys are, the clock is running down. We got to go. And you can anticipate snap counts, because the clock is running down and you know they don't have much more time.
Yep.
There's all kinds of advantages if you can get to the line of scrimmage earlier. And one of them is that you wear out the defensive line because they're in a 3-point stance for so long. And Dom Capers said, "You know what we're going to do? When he comes to the line of scrimmage, we're going to have on one knee." And they did that. And they were on one knee while Peyton was doing all this crap, but then Peyton starts snapping it quicker. So they can't do that. So there's a big advantage if you can get to the line. And CJ seeing, like you're talking about, seeing, where's the mic? Where are they coming from? Mm-hmm. If you put a man in motion, are guys going with him in man, or are they all standing around in its zone? There's all kinds of things that you can read on the defense the quicker you get to the line of scrimmage.
I was trying to figure out, you know, trying to read between the lines. I think some of it could be about getting to the right protections, maybe not making the right diagnosis. And that could be on CJ. That could be on Drew Scruggs, but CJ typically is going to handle a lot of that, and he's not going to put his quarterback out there. He might have meant something like that without saying it. You know, one of the things that could be an issue is maybe CJ wasn't making the right observations about the pressures he was seeing, so that he would be protected the best he could. Maybe they should have been sliding one direction when they weren't, and he didn't know. Now Bobby's going to take that bullet because he needs to get CJ ready to do it. And even if it's the player's fault, he's not going to throw the player under the bus. That's good. That's Gary Kubiak used to do it. People used to make fun of it all the time because it was so mm-hmm. stereotypical and so cliche.
That's on me.
It's on me.
How many times did Gary Kubiak say that's on me?
I mean, if it came a joke, but at the same time, Bobby did it without saying it's on me so much. He just said, "Look, I got to fix that. We got to get that." He was asked about his play call at the end. He said it was a bad play call, the 3rd and 15. I think it was less about the play call. And then he did kind of, but he did strike back a little bit about, he did say you know, he was talking about the route that Tank had and what he liked about the leverage and all that, but it wasn't, you know, he said that was my fault. It was a bad play call. I would question maybe first and second down, so you're in a better position on third down. But he did mention, well, that's not the only route. That's not the only route in that play. Like, there's a route in there that could have scored a touch. You know, we have other routes that can do other things. So I think sometimes when people, the thing that frustrates me most is when people just, they don't like the execution and they just say, play calling's terrible. Sometimes they don't understand that whatever throw they see sometimes, there's other routes built in. It's not, you're not calling a play to get the worst result possible. Every play has, you know, really? Has different routes and different concepts built in, and sometimes quarterbacks just don't see it, and sometimes a defense, you know, sometimes you just got to tip your cap.
Yep, tip your cap.
Sometimes right, Craig Biggio comes out and gives you the old, I wish there was a Craig Biggio emoji where he tips his cap.
Yeah.
Because then I would use that all the time.
That would be perfect.
I know.
Okay, so for those of you that wonder how come we didn't have Willie Fritz is going to join us at 9 o'clock today. He wanted to be a little later, so we'll have Willie Fritz at 9 o'clock. We'll have Five Star at 9:15. And beat the warehouse guy at 9:30. So we got a busy 9 o'clock hour. And
I'm taking it off at 9 o'clock. It's basically we're on cruise control. It's basically a holiday show at 9 o'clock.
Oh no, it's a holiday show. It is a holiday show. It's a holiday show from here on out, I think. So let's start it with Allstate Windows and Siding.
Allstate Windows and Siding gives you a chance to. I was listening to Joel do a commercial the other day. It was a recorded spot, and it reminded me that you know the. The siding that they do, they have a bunch of different colors. So I know a lot of times you put siding on and you have to paint your, or you put your wood on or your wood's up there and you want to change the color of your home. You paint your home a different color. You're doing some kind of upgrade on that. But keep in mind, wood is going to become dilapidated, especially in this damp climate that we have. Vinyl siding stinks. Let's go ahead and get the Hardy Plank siding. Let's get the Hardy Plank siding that also is different colors. So then you're done painting. You're not going to have to paint anymore. You may clean it. You may pressure wash it every 5 or 6 years or whatever. But you're done. You're not going to have to worry about that anymore. It beautifies the home. It adds a layer of protection to the home, and it adds a layer of efficiency, energy efficiency to the home. And, of course, windows are the biggest culprits in high energy bills, because a leaky window means that AC, even if it's working properly, is just going to run and run and run. Make sure you have windows that fit the home properly. Make sure you have windows that are double pane, double strength. Make sure you have windows that are made here in Texas for Texas weather. They understand what we're facing here in Houston, and the windows are made properly. It's Allstate Windows and Siding, years and years in the business. They do an incredible job and give deep discounts to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we'll get to back to Bobby Slowick explained the 3rd and 15 that we'll get to in a little bit. But there's an article in the Chronicle this morning, Lance, that the Texans should be buyers at the trade deadline. And they're just and I would agree that they're not good enough right now. They're not deep enough right now. I think that is I think we've seen that. D'Angelo Ross came in last week.
Hurt.
The guys that he was covering, he 7 for 7 for 95 yards and a touchdown. That's not good.
I saw him on the injured list this week. I think he had his feelings injured.
I would imagine D'Amico was hurting.
What's your injury? Feelings?
Well, pee-pee. I don't know that he's on the injured list with hurt feelings, but he hurt the team. He hurt my feelings with his coverage. And if you could pick one spot that they really needed help, I would think that would be it, right?
I would think.
It would be nice if Lassiter was inside and not outside.
Well, D'Amico fundamentally disagrees with you and me on that, so I don't think that's going to change. But
okay.
Buyers, I mean, yeah, in theory, but I don't know what position. You're not buying on the offensive line. Nobody good is going to be up for sale on the offensive line. You're going to have your linebackers. We already know that's covered up now, and guys are coming back. Your corners makes the most sense. Corner makes the most sense. I think safety, they've done what they're going to do at safety. They like what's his name from?
Do they?
Because
Jimmy Ward is always out.
But they gave him an extension.
And you got Eric Murray on the field all the time.
Yeah, but they like Eric Murray. They're not trading. And Jimmy Ward, they gave him an extension. So they're not doing anything there. And they like what's the safety from USC? Caden Bullock. Caden Bullock. They like him. Three interceptions so far this year. So the only position I could think of that they would look at, and it's not going to be wide receiver, it's not going to be running back, not going to be quarterback, not going to be tight end. Like, I legitimately don't know what position, not going to be D-tackle.
A corner.
Corner's the only position you could think of, and it would have to be the nickel. But then what do you do with Jalen Petrie? They're not taking him off the field. You could add depth. You could add a backup. But I don't think they're trading for a starter. If they were to trade and add, I think it would be for depth at corner. That would make the most sense.
Now, Kamari Lassiter is coming back. He has been practicing. Sean, you got Matt Burke talking about, and it's kind of a big deal.
Well, it's faster than expected, potentially.
It's kind of a big deal, Kamari Lassiter coming back. Here is Matt Burke on Lassiter's return.
What did it mean for you guys to get Kamari back on the field after a couple weeks out?
Yeah, obviously, starter for us early in the season, so getting a starting level defensive back back in the fold for us, and the toughness and competitiveness that he brings, and I'm happy for him. He really gets another guy that really attacked these last 2 weeks. In terms of I think the same toughness and mental fortitude that he brings to playing ball was the same thing with dealing with this little setback here, and really pushed, wanted to play 2 weeks ago, we were holding him back from getting out there. So excited for him to hopefully get back out and show what he can do.
That was, and you remember this, and this is why Dell is he's not trustworthy, and I just don't like him fundamentally as a person. He told us he's going to be out for a long time. They even said he looks for the most negative words that he can find, what was the word he used for this? For the duration of injury, it's going to be an indefinite period of death and destruction. Like, this guy's going to miss 2 weeks, and you made it sound like he's going to be out a month at least. This is why we cannot trust him. He is a Dolphin fan by nature. We can't trust him. When he's talking bad about our Longhorns or our Aggies, just remember he's got a stake in the game with the Miami Hurricanes, because Miami matters this year. Miami teams matter this year. So, I can't really. Oh, he bashes on the Rockets all the time. And that's because, he's been jealous for years because the Heat can't do what the Rockets could do, except when they had, LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Two different sets of championships. Yeah.
Right.
But since then, it's not been as good as what we've been with the Rockets.
No.
We've had some really good basketball here.
Well, we have had really crappy basketball for really, really
in
bad.
In a way.
But yeah, no. In reality, it's been really, really bad. No, we can't trust Dell just because we can't.
Yeah,
trust
so if Lassiter's back, he made it sound, I'm like, well, I guess Lassiter's out for at least a month. Oh, looky here. He's like, look what Ian Rappaport said. Could be as much as a month. It's at least a month. It's really, really bad. Here he is. Here he is. He's back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine that. Now, I don't like the fact that Jonathan Taylor's back. Josh Downs is at full speed, which he wasn't in game one. Jonathan Taylor's back. You have DeForest Buckner, who's back faster than anticipated. He's back. EJ Speed. He's back. He was practicing full participation. So the Colts are pretty much going to be at full participation this week. They're 100% ready to go. Honestly, I don't know about you, but I'm actually happier to see Richardson than Flacco. And I can't believe I live in a world where I don't want to see Joe Flacco against my team. But the fact is, Joe Flacco, and I was talking about this yesterday, an accomplished pocket passer. I'm not going to say really good or anything, but an accomplished pocket passer, a guy who knows how to throw from the pocket, is just like somebody who knows how to shoot threes. Like Ray Allen could play a long time. Matt Bullard played a lot, but I'm trying to think of just some spot-up three-point shooters. Kyle Korver. those guys play a long time because it's a skill that doesn't really go away. It's not.
How about Klay Thompson last night?
Well, Klay Thompson was phenomenal. Yeah, you're right. And that's and so it came up because Mason's like, Dad, I told you to go lower on Klay Thompson's three-pointers, and man, I really missed that. But he was over. But he was like 3 for 15 in the preseason, and he was. I'm like, this dude's one of the all-time greatest shooters. I said, Mason, shooting doesn't go away. It takes a long time. Leaping, jumping. If your game's predicated on athleticism, whether it's and by the way, whether you're at quarterback or as a guard, whenever your athleticism goes away, your game takes a tumble. Look at Steve Francis, for example. Whenever your game is predicated on skill, like working from the pocket with your mind, throwing accurately, yeah, you may be a statue. You may be getting some trouble in the pocket if the blitz heats you up. But you know what you do have? The ability to continue to complete passes and hurt people. It's the same thing with shooters. Like Ray Allen stayed around forever because he could shoot. If you can shoot, it's a skill that doesn't go away quickly. You don't have a diminished skill set. It takes a long time. And that's why Joe Flacco's sitting here like, he can still beat you from the pocket. He can still make throws. He's not. I wouldn't call him a good quarterback at this point, but he is a capable quarterback of beating you from the pocket. And you look at Anthony Richardson, unless the Colts maximize Richardson's physical talent, which includes running, he hurts their chances of winning. I believe that because he's not a good passer at this stage. Now, he's dangerous. Now, if you want to run him a lot, all right, well, we got a whole new set of concerns here. But right now, he really doesn't run a whole lot. And when he does run, you got to worry about him being injury prone. So I actually like Richardson starting instead of Flacco. I think it benefits the Texans, believe it or not.
It benefits the Texans, absolutely. Absolutely. They're better with Joe Flacco.
What does that say about Richardson then?
Yeah, right. Well, thank you. Speaking of hurting people, why is everybody hurting Sean Mapes' feelings? Why is Gardner Minshew working the board today? Where's Dell? Pretty cool you guys have Teen Wolf running the board this morning.
Yeah, Teen Wolf. The one person
Teen
called him
Wolf.
One person called him Gus Swayze, which is actually not bad. I didn't know who Gus Swayze was, and probably a lot of people missed this. Gus Swayze, my guess is Mapes, I think, is a guy who's got his, as some people would say, ear to the grindstone, which is mixed metaphors. But
nose to the grindstone?
Yeah, but that's why you say ear to the grindstone, because you like to mix your metaphors up. Right. But you didn't see Gus Swayze, did you?
I don't know who that is.
Okay, neither of y'all did. So no. Peyton Manning, he's got his stuff on well, that's what I'm telling you. Peyton Manning has his little thing. The Mannings do, you know, their broadcast, whatever, Omaha Productions. And they did something on Prime, for Prime Video, that they took Baker Mayfield, gave him prosthetic nose. It's actually a great job.
I saw it, yeah.
The makeup, it's hard to tell it's Baker. And he was in with a bunch of fans, and the fans were getting a tour of the facility. And Baker's being like, you think I'm all – well, man, what about this trophy right here? I want to hold this. I wish I could take this and go take a picture with it or something. And so you get all these fans. They're all the hardcore fans, just like you might see with Texans. And Baker's in the group like he's one of the hardcore fans. And
wearing sweatpants, baggy sweatpants.
Yeah, baggy sweatpants.
He's got a
headband.
He's
got a headband, yeah. He's got his long hair. And at one point they start throwing, okay, anybody who can throw it more than 30 yards – everyone gets this, and if anyone can throw it 50 yards, everyone gets this. And so they're out there on the field, and they're warming up, and these wide receivers don't know. They don't know it's Baker Mayfield. Those guys don't realize it's Baker Mayfield. There's like three receivers out there, and they're not high-end receivers. They're, I think, lesser receivers.
Right.
Baker starts heating one of them up in warm-ups, and the wide receiver says to the other wide receiver, my man's throwing fastballs over here. And then they get to a part, and all these fans try to throw the football on it, you know, predictably, like 34 yards the most. And then Baker gets out there, and he just rips one about 60 yards. And everyone's like, oh, my God. And so they all win, whatever.
Well, they did it before with Eli. They made
I actually thought Baker's was better than the Eli. Eli one, to me, it was so obvious. Like,
he looked like Eli.
Yeah, he looked like Eli with a bad makeup job on. Baker's. I thought was a pretty good one.
All right, we got a break. Underdog is what you're talking about now. Is Baker Mayfield an underdog?
Baker Mayfield's an underdog. Baker Mayfield, just like every other quarterback, is in underdog fantasy. Absolutely, John. If you go to underdog fantasy NFL.com or you'd simply download the app, you're going to find any quarterback. And, you know, maybe that's what you want to do. Maybe this week we're going to focus on quarterbacks in the NFL. And we're going to say, you know, we're going to figure out how this game's going to go. Is it going to be low scoring? Is this quarterback going to have a hard time? Is this quarterback going to shine and excel? Go find your quarterbacks. Maybe you find four that you like a lot. And you go higher or lower on their statistics. You say, oh, no, he's not throwing touchdowns against this defense. I'm going lower. You say, oh, I can see this guy rushing for more than 6.5 yards in the first quarter. And that's an example of one of the stats that's always out there. How many rushing yards in the first quarter? Maybe you want to take a look at that with Anthony Richardson when they play the Texans. I don't know. But I know this much. You have an opportunity to win real money up to 1,000 times your original play. And you've got everything available to you. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, the World Series, it goes today, and your cash pick'ems are available for you to go higher or lower on statistics and win real money. Do it today. Make sure that you go to the website and download the app, and then use promo code Lance. This is Boostober. Don't forget that. You're going to boost your profit on all NBA entries by 20%, but don't look now. They're doing 50% boosts right now on, for example, NFL last night. I had a 50% boost on that one. All you got to do is pick two players if you want. You can go as high as five players if you'd like, and it's all there for the taking. You download the app, you use promo code Lance and deposit now, and you got a chance to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Lance. You must be 18 or older in present state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, John and Lance. Well, we got a couple interesting calls here. One will be, I'm not sure about this one, but we'll give it a go. Kikuchi, we got the World Series starting tonight, Lance. Can you be more excited? I think
couldn't be more excited. We are going to have Clay Hensley join us at on a phone call at 8:30. He wants to invite you to a golf tournament too.
He wants to invite me to a golf tournament.
He's got a big golf tournament coming up that he wanted to invite you to invite us. But I've got my draft stuff sufficiently underway now that my tape got in. So
okay, well,
but he wants to invite you in November. So. I think early.
We'll see.
I don't know when you're back in town.
I absolutely will. I'll absolutely go. but we got Kikuchi on a mobile that wants to talk about, give us a preview of this World Series. Hey, Kikuchi, how are you?
Uh-oh. Hey, good morning, guys. It is me, Yusei Kikuchi, on a mobile, calling to talk the World Series.
Okay, what do you want to talk? What are some of your thoughts on the pitching in this?
Oh well, they got some good pitching on both sides. But it should be interesting. I'm predicting six games.
Okay. Do you have a winner?
Well, being that the Astros are not in the World Series, no one wins.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Nobody wins. Yeah.
I would agree. America loses no matter what happens here.
Exactly.
It's a battle of the coasts.
That's the country's most beloved team.
The grimy coast versus the fake coast.
Right.
Not yes, yes. And we have Mr. Shohei Ohtani representing, and may he do well. But I get asked all the time, who do I think the best Japanese-born player is? And every time they ask me, I always say, Tsurukazu Matsui.
Okay.
May his namesake never die.
I can't do this anymore. It's like a character from Warrior.
This is not something we should be doing.
It's a character. Thanks for the call, Kikuchi on a mobile.
Thanks,
appreciate Kikuchi. It. What was the show that we watched? Not Warrior, but what was the other one? No. Samurai.
Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't in English. No one spoke in English, if I remember correctly.
Shogun.
Shogun, not Samurai. Yeah, Shogun.
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that
one girl who was in that show? She was pretty good.
Yeah, she was real good. Marika-san.
Yeah.
Marika-san.
She seems like she'd be, you know, as a wife, she seems like she would be.
I saw her at the Emmys.
That's right. You did. You sent a picture.
Yeah. Marika-san. Whoa.
Was she doing a slow walk with the feet real
walking.
Close together?
Like, no, she didn't walk like that.
She didn't walk like that in real life?
Not in real life.
Oh, man, that would have been great.
Chris in the Woodlands wants to talk about the Texans. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, Lance, so I agree with you on Joe Flacco. Great take. I think he's a better option for them, but you know they're not going to go that route. If I'm the Colts this week, I'm only working on deep routes because it seems like last game they have the ability to get behind our secondary quite regularly. And that kind of leads into my question. What's our linebacker situation like this week with some of the injuries, and what do you think we're going to do to kind of prevent some of the wide receivers from getting behind us, and what do you think that might look like from the front, whether it's stunts or blitz packages? And I didn't know if you maybe had a comment on that. I ain't going to listen. Thanks, guys.
Chris thinks I'm on the staff. What are we doing coverage-wise this week? I don't know. Hopefully better than last time they played Richardson.
Hey, even with Petrie back last time, even in double coverage, they completed the bomb. I mean,
I don't think they have the right second safety. Jimmy Ward is older and injury prone. Jalen Petrie is not built to be on the. He's more of a star player in college, which is that hybrid, you know, big nickel where you sit in a nickel and you run, defend, and you play. We don't really have that second safety. Eric Murray's not good enough. Like that Bullock. Is one position I'd like to see. I like Bullock.
Bullock is playing a good center.
Yeah, Bullock can play high safety. Yeah. But I'd like to have another one where you can play some two high safety looks and say, okay, Anthony Richardson, we'll keep everything underneath. You can't beat us now with deep throws. And yeah. I think one of the issues you have, Chris, is that the Texans aren't really built to run a lot of too high safety, basically. And so I'm not sure that, you know, that's a great way to keep people from getting behind you is have a too high shell and just make sure your safety stay deeper than the deepest. That's how you take that away. Linebacker play, what does it look like? Alshair is out. To'o, boom, nailed it. To'o was back on the injury list. He wasn't on the injury list Wednesday. He was back on it as it did not participate yesterday. So I don't know what's going on there, so keep an eye on that. Devin White, you think he'll get in this week, John?
I doubt it. I doubt he'd be ready, but maybe.
So you have you have Hanson. You have – I bet we'll see him. You have – well, I don't know. I don't know how long – I don't know how complicated it is. But you've got Hanson and Neville Hewitt going. And Neville Hewitt, I think, is a good backup. I like that situation. I don't think the Colts – like, I don't mind the linebacker. I don't think the linebacker is going to be a big issue. Devin White, actually, if he can pick up on the defense, he might be a good – to kind of thump a little bit, he actually might be a good addition in place of Hanson on some, you know, against the Colts in certain situations, because the Colts are going to look to run the football, especially with Jonathan Taylor back, and you do have to be physical against them. A big part of this is going to be, can you run on the Colts like you did the first time? You don't have Nico Collins, and last time, remember, it was the Joe Mixon show. Every game Joe Mixon's played, he's had over 100 yards. Joe Mixon's been terrific. Mm-hmm. Can he do it? Can the Texans do it again? Can they have that same success this time? I know the Colts had a real problem with fitting up the run properly in the first few games. Linebackers were out of sorts. They weren't in the spots they were supposed to be. They've kind of tightened it up since then. So I don't know. If I'm the Colts, I'm making sure that the Texans don't get off with the run game. But if that's the case, are they going to force the Texans to throw? Are we going to see somebody say, no, Texans have to beat us? C.J. Stroud has to beat us. That would be a first. But the way C.J. looked in the last game, like, yeah, you know, maybe you make C.J. beat you and not the run game.
The way they went about it last time was not a recipe for winning, that's for sure. Joe Mixon kicked their ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if they're really going to say, oh, we're not going to worry about it. Now, remember, Nico was there last time. You had the full slate of wide receivers. Maybe the Colts going to this one saying, oh, we're taking Mixon away this time, and we'll let C.J. beat us. Because we're not going to let Mixon beat us again. I wonder if the Colts will do some of that and say, no, Joe Mixon's too big a factor. And wouldn't that be ironic if somebody says, no, we'll let CJ try to beat us instead of the run game?
Right, right. Well, I mean, if you let Joe Mixon run wild again, you are going to lose again. So if he what did he have? He was great in that opener. He was great. So maybe you do. And it would be ironic to say, well, yeah, the only way they're going to win is if CJ beats us. Okay. All right. We'll do that.
And he better and be able Tank to beat Dell. You, by the way. He better be able to beat you.
Maybe Tank Dell will have a catch this week. That'll be great.
I think I think he'll get a catch this week.
I think he'll get
higher than .5. Higher than .5. You think he'll get 5 catches?
5 catches this week.
That'd be a career high for 2025 if we're doing 1-year careers.
Well, he's not a 1-year career.
That'd be his
career
2025 or 2024, 2025. Well, actually it's just 2024 season.
Yeah,
it's just, unless we go to the postseason, we'll go to the postseason. I'm not worried about that.
Time to talk about HRP. How about HRP and what they're doing? My peeps over there love what they're doing. You spent a lot of time with Chris Fisher the other night, as a matter of fact. You were at the game with Chris and having a good time. And you know what?
He was walking down the aisle firing people. It was crazy.
He didn't
fired. Walk. Fired,
no, he was
bonus.
Out.
He was like, bonus, fired. He goes, here's your paycheck. And he said, what's this for? He said, your company. Your paycheck, your payday is today. Here's your check.
He didn't fire anybody at the game.
It would have been cool if he did.
No, but if you need somebody that's doing that, you know what? If you need help doing that, and guess what? You do need help doing that, because if you do it yourself, guess what's going to happen? You're going to screw it up. Don't screw it up. Let HR&P handle this stuff, because you're not good at it. You can't handle this stuff. You can't handle the truth about your business, about your HR. You can't handle the truth about taxes, because HR&P takes care of all that for us. The payroll, perfectly done every time. They've got proprietary a system that is proprietary, and it is awesome. And you're looking for the best way to get your payroll to your people and not do it yourself. I'm telling you. And if you're with an admin company that is also giving you benefits packages, guess what? HR&P might be able to do it better. Find out for yourself. Don't continue to play the game that these companies are playing with you. Find out how much HR&P can save you. HRP.net. They'll customize a plan just for you. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.